KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinneen, and it's 9:02. The Alaska Center for Energy and Power has been overseeing a drilling program out at the Pilgrim Hot Springs. The hope is to drill a well that can produce up to 2 megawatts of energy. We found out yesterday that the well they were drilling the past few weeks is not capable of producing 2 megawatts of energy, but that does not mean a transmission line to Nome will not happen. There's still hope. What it does mean is that the Alaska Center for Energy and Power will create the well they were drilling to be capable of power generation for on-site use. So for Unatuck, the landowner, to use the well for space heating, for a bathing facility, and to support production greenhouses. ASEP Director Gwen Holdman says ASEP will this week try to locate what they call the upflow zone to capture the 2 megawatts of energy needed to export power to Nome.
To me, there's no question that this resource is capable of generating megawatts of power. It's just a matter of when water's flowing underground, it can be very difficult to pinpoint, especially when you're in a really narrow zone like this.
Holdman says the reservoir of hot water lies under bedrock. Above that bedrock is more than 1,000 feet of silt, gravel, and mud. She says somewhere in there is a crack in the bedrock where the hot water is coming up. ASEP will drill 2 smaller diameter non-production wells to find that crack, what they do call the upflow zone.
And with so much overburden, so much, you know, basically just things that have been laid down by the Pilgrim River over millennia, it's hard to really pinpoint a target like that. It's like finding a needle in a haystack, but we've been progressively reducing the size of that haystack. And so, you know, now every time we drill, we learn a little more and we're a little closer to unlocking the key to the overall, you know, area where that hot water's.
Most likely, the equipment used for drilling will stay at the Pilgrim Hot Springs with the intent to drill a production well next summer. A company called Patelco has expressed interest in building a power plant and transmission line to Nome if 2 megawatts of energy can be produced at Pilgrim. Federal tax credits that expire at the end of the year make that project feasible. Holdman says that as long as the project is moving forward in a consistent manner, and 5% of the project's funds are spent in this calendar year, there should be no problem in securing the tax credits. Multiple organizations have come together and worked together to see this project advance. And Holdman, who also developed the geothermal power plant at the Chena Hot Springs, says she's committed to the success of the Pilgrim drilling program.
What I just like to reiterate is I've been involved in projects all over the state, and the amount of local support that I've seen for this project from all kinds of different organizations, whether it's the city or Fitness Talk or Bering Straits, White Mountain Native Corporation, or the Nome Chamber of Commerce. The amount of local support for this project has been really heartening to me, and I've really enjoyed working in the region, and I'm very committed to trying to make this project work.
ASEP should pinpoint where a production well should be drilled next summer in the next few weeks. In the meantime, more funding will need to be secured to drill that production well next summer. Alaska's multi-million dollar Red King crab season opened yesterday, but most of the boats set to haul crab pots will remain docked because of the government shutdown. The federal office that sets individual fishing quotas for the Red King crab fishery in the Bering Sea and across the state remains closed. Only crabbers connected with a community development quota program are allowed to take part in the harvest, but the much larger number of commercial haulers across the state are without permits. The federal employees who administer those permits are still furloughed, crabbers hoping to get scores of Red Kings to Japanese markets in time for the lucrative holiday season, worry that their profits are likely to be slashed by the delays. Senator Lisa Murkowski and Representative Don Young proposed a plan to recall furloughed federal employees at the National Marine Fisheries Service. That would have allowed permits to be issued, with recovery fees earned from the harvest going to retroactively fund the department. But as of yesterday, NIMPS workers are still barred from working. But for crabbers in the Norton Sound region, the delay in permits has no effect. Tyler Rhodes, communication director for the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, says this is because Norton Sound is one of the few regions with a summer crab season.
The federal shutdown has definitely caused issues with the crab fishery in the Bering Sea, but I'd say, I guess, fortunately for our local crab fishermen, our season is already concluded, so it's not even a question of whether or not there would have been effect to them. Just the simple fact that our season concluded in September means they're just sheltered from having any effect from the federal shutdown at this point.
And the CDC recently released a report on its crabbing operation for the season as part of the Community Development Quota Program. And the CDC split its allotted crab quota among 32 resident fishermen. Ultimately, fishermen launching primarily out of Nome, Unalakleet, and Shaktulik sold a total of $1.84 million worth of Red King crab to Norton Sound Seafood Products. It was the third highest season for Red Kings on record for NSSP. And yesterday, there were two candidacy announcements for statewide political races. Former Commissioner of Natural Resources Dan Sullivan is running as a Republican for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Mark Begich. Tuesday's announcement brings Sullivan into a crowded field of GOP candidates that includes Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell and Joe Miller. Sullivan insists that the most important thing for the Republican Party is to retake the contested Senate seat. Also on Tuesday, Byron Mallott officially launched a run for governor in his hometown of Yakutat. Mallott's running as a Democrat for the seat currently held by Republican Sean Parnell. Earlier on, Mallott declined to run for office, satisfied with his work in the private and public sector. However, Mallott says he changed his mind when he saw the position of governor as an extension of his past work. Mallott's political career began when he was elected mayor of Yakutat at age 22. He's also served as the director of Alaska Public Radio Network, executive director of the Alaska's Permanent Fund Corporation, and president of the Alaska Federation of Natives. Both Sullivan and Mallott are campaigning for races that won't happen until a year from now, in November 2014. And this just in, Democratic State Senator Hollis French is running for lieutenant governor. The Anchorage senator had been exploring another run for governor, but today said he decided instead to support Byron Mallott as the Democratic candidate. While voters elect governors and lieutenant governors separately, he says Alaskans will see him working with Mallott. Palmer math teacher Bob Williams previously announced plans to run as a Democrat for lieutenant governor. A look at the price of gold today, down $2.40 an ounce to $1,279.60. An ounce of silver at $21.48, up 8 cents. Unofficially 42 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.